About leisure time, okay? Activities can be CCA and all that. How do you make decisions with regards to our CCA? Is it possible to make Bible decisions with regards to our own CCA and all the things that we need to do in life? Certainly it is, but we want to see what the Bible has to say. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, all right, as we settle down and then later on go on with what we need to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the coming of your people together. It's always a wonderful time when we can gather, Lord, around your word. We pray for those who are sick because of the camp and maybe exhaustion and tiredness. We pray for Esther Joy that you raise her up quickly so that Lydia, as she takes care of her. And also, Lord, for the many of us who are trying to recover from camp as well, for Asher as well, who's not feeling well, we pray that you help him to get better. And for the other people, Lord, who are on their way, we pray that you bring them quickly and help them drive safely because of the wet conditions. Then they might gather here, so that we can hear from your precious word, Lord, how we can even make decisions with regards to the very personal things of our life, regarding our CCA, how to use our leisure time, and also the possessions that we wish to have, and how, Lord, biblically, we can actually ensure, Lord, that we are living by your word. Help us to be thinking Christians, but help us not, or rather help us more to be obedient Christians, even sometimes when it doesn't square with our thinking, when we don't understand why. Help us, Lord, to realize your word is always true, your will is always wise, and Father, your direction, Lord, is always the best. We help us. We ask you to guide us even as we apply your word into our lives. Pray for the Sunday school. We pray that you guide them as well in as the teachers teach them the word of God. I pray, Lord, that today your will be done. Father, you will encourage us, Lord, with your presence and your instruction. Pray that the Holy Spirit will also lead us into all truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope everyone has the notes. Okay, start this by jogging our memory. Okay, remember what are the two essential truths when we did a balanced Christian life? Remember when we did a balanced Christian life at the beginning of the year, what are the two essential truths that we must remember and practice in order to have a balanced Christian life? What are two things? It's really jogging your memory. What are the two main things? First one is, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is for Him alone we are to live for. Because why? God has bought us out of the slave market of sin. We belong to Christ. Okay, that's the first thing. Please remember, all things as a Christian that we have belongs to God, okay? And so we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's for Him alone we are to live for. Number two, to live a balanced, God-honoring Christian life is to live by what the Bible says. To live a God-honoring Christian life is to live by what the Bible says. Because the Word of God, the Bible, is God's will for this present world, for Christians. Okay, it's a this must be the two anchor points. Because if you have any other motivations, you will find that you come up with other reasons why you don't want to do what God says, right? So I want to start there because it's essential for us to remember. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is actually there. I wrote, printed that. Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Because this will form the basis, a foundation of how we seek God's guidance on our activities, our possessions, and leisure. Okay, let's read together 1 Corinthians 6:12 and then 1 Corinthians 10:23. Ready? 1, 2, go. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The second verse. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay? In the context of this, or rather, many believers use these two verses to say that to decide if a certain activity is right and wrong is their own responsibility. It's up to them. Because the Bible says all things are lawful for me. Okay? However, it is important when we use any part of Scripture that we need to be conscientiously thinking through, and we need to be true and consistent in the application of the biblical principle. What do I mean? The Bible says here, all things are lawful unto me. Some believers will say, yeah, I can do anything I want. What? You know what the Bible says? Example, in the book of In the Gospels, there's one phrase that says, all the world has gone after Christ. Does it mean every single one have gone after Christ? Or is it a force of language to show that because of the popularity of Christ, a group, multitudes of people are flocking to him? Does it make sense? Some people will use the word all means every single one. Whereas in the Bible, when God says all the whole world has gone after him, is literally telling us that because of the popularity of Christ, a lot of people are flocking to him. Does that make sense? The multitude of people. And that's equally true. All doesn't mean every single thing. Okay, we'll explain what Paul means here. And we need to be careful because he that is faithful in the little will be faithful in the much. Luke 16 verse 10. The way we look at one passage of scripture and apply it will affect how we make decisions, even about CCA, about our gadgets we have, that how we use our time. Alright? Now, 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Let's touch on that first. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I want to say it very clear from the beginning. When Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, it does not mean we can do what we want. Okay? I'll explain why. Because it's very important. Because there are certain things we know to be wrong. Example, immorality is wrong, right? If the Bible says all things are lawful unto me, does that therefore mean I can also commit immorality? Obviously not, okay? Stealing, is it right or wrong? It's wrong. So does that mean that I can do it? Can I say this? Stealing and lying and adultery in some cultures are actually acceptable way of life. Okay? Like in Papua New Guinea, I receive I'm in touch with my pastor's son, Benjamin Charles, who is a missionary in Papua New Guinea. It is very common for a man to be divorced and married 20 times. Very common. And they wouldn't have a culture, I like your wife, so let's exchange wives. It's accepted culture. It's the norm in Papua New Guinea. Okay? I don't think any of you ladies want to live in that kind of culture, right? But you know, it's acceptable culture. It's actually acceptable. It's just acceptable culture. So does that mean it's right? But when Paul says all things are lawful, it means that in the culture, perhaps it's technically acceptable. Okay? We know that when he says all things are lawful, Paul, we need to look in the context. What does actually Paul mean when he says all things are lawful unto me? It's very important in application because many people will use this, all things are lawful unto me, I can do it. Okay? There are some things that as a Christians we just don't do simply because we're Christians. Do you agree? We're Christians, we don't lie. We're not supposed to steal. And we don't tell white lies or black lies and all that, you know. Just because it's technically legal, there may be other reasons that may still rot the situations that we cannot participate in it. Alright, we want to talk about that. Let me give you a background of 1 Corinthians when Paul is talking about that. At Corinth, there were many pagan temples. Okay, many pagan temples that worship various deities. They worship various deities. Mr. Shaolin, I may need your help to just say for Sharon, yeah. My wife's not here. Okay, so in Corinth, there were various temples that worshipped Greek deities. So involved in this worship of idols was offering of meat as sacrifices to them. Okay? The meat left over from these temples were then sold at the site at discount prices. Good cuts of meat that was sacrificed to the idols were actually sold in the temple at the site. At good prices, okay, very discounted price. So many of the Christians grew up in the kind of environment where the meat offered to idols were just sold and they would buy and eat. Okay, and to them it was okay. Also, at some of the temples was the availability of temple prostitution as a perverse means of worshipping the pagan deity. Okay? They believed that as they get involved physically, immorally with the ladies at the temple, they're called temple prostitutes, and that the offspring is actually a sign of God's blessing on them. And it should actually indicate a good harvest and a good prosperity for them. It was socially and legally allowed. However, hence, the new Christians grown up in an environment that they had constant temptation to slip into that kind of thing again. Because before they were Christians, this was socially allowed. In their minds, they were programmed to think that this is okay. But after they become Christians, they're not too sure. That's why they wrote to Paul, and Paul had to explain to them certain things. Okay? And then Paul used this context to teach the principle. I just want to apply it to Singapore. In Singapore also, there are many things before we were Christian. Do you realize, how many of you remember last time we actually had video arcade? And the video arcade games were actually banned in Singapore at one time. How many of you remember that? The arcade games where you go, last time they put 20 cents, then you go and shoot. How many of you remember Space Invaders? The problem was many of the children were going in, after school they were all going in, and the government says, no, cannot do that. And they banned all the video arcade games in Singapore. You can't find it anymore. Okay, some resorted to play those with battery, they play the video, the arcade games. But it was banned. Okay, it was banned. But after it came back again, because the government, I'm not too sure why they... But they banned it at a certain time because it was affecting the students. Okay, students were going in with the students. Of course, they put students in uniform are not allowed in. So what the students do? After school, they go and change t-shirt. Go in. But over time, it was banned, but it came back again. Other things, it was outlawed. Other things in Singapore, there's also lots of computer games, violent ones, Crossy Street, whereby you just play to pass your time. Is it Crossy Street? Is it Crossy Street? Or Cross the Road? Huh? Crossy Road. I don't know why I always think Crossy Street. I thought Sesame Street. Okay, then movies, especially. Movies is all over the place. Okay, big cinemas. Paul uses 1 Corinthians 6:12 to teach the Corinthian church a principle. And I want to believe that Paul also uses that to teach us principles to govern these things. Okay, he says this, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He's saying, though such activity at Corinth was legal, it was not expedient. The word expedient has the idea of being profitable, helpful or good. A Christian in Corinth could legally engage in the practices noted above. You can actually, it's legally, socially acceptable. Listen, it's legally, socially acceptable for the Corinthian Christian to be engaged in temple prostitution. It's socially and legally, that's their culture. But Paul says, but all things are not expedient. All things are not profitable. All things doesn't help you or kind to you or good to you. Not just spirit. That's why Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 6, remember, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Remember, in the same chapter, Paul actually had to tell them, look, all things are lawful to you, socially acceptable, so everyone is doing it. It's okay. It's legal. Non-believers will actually defend you when you do that because it's okay. But Paul says, look, not all things are expedient. You know what Paul is doing? He's looking at the culture of those days, establishing what the culture says as legal, and some things that as Christians we do in the culture might be playing badminton, soccer, watching a soccer game, all these, they are legal, right? Right? And so, Paul is just also saying, but he gives the principle, some things don't, it's not profitable for you. Okay? So, a Christian in Corinth could legally engage in the practices noted above, but Paul highlights, look, some things are just not helpful for you. By the way, it's a Bible principle that we need to take note of. Okay? He continues by saying, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He further emphasizes the thought that though the practices noted above were legal, he would not allow it to have a controlling influence over himself. So there are really two principles that Paul actually brought in already. All things are... Okay, let's look at our prevailing culture in Singapore. What are some things that culturally people... It's an accepted thing. Buying 4D. Okay, buying 4D. Even if you line up, even Christians line up and buy that as well, right? It's culturally and legal. It's legal. What else? Soccer betting, sorry. Drinking, okay. Social drinking in the pubs. It's supposed to be the thing to do, especially also in universities. I understand you go for what? Karaoke or whatever. You hang out on Friday nights. In Australia, when I studied there, Friday night is in the bars. Okay? Saturday, recovery. And Sunday, maybe a bit of partying. Then after that, make sure you get ready for school. Don't talk about universities. What about junior colleges? When I was in secondary school, my time is even very old. But in the 1980s, what they had was Friday nights were actually while partying. Just party. Just enjoy themselves. And people will actually cut hair in certain ways on Friday nights, and on Sunday they go to the barber and just trim it off again. Or they'll dye their hair for weekends, and then after Sunday night, go to the saloon and then make sure their hair is black again. But it's drinking is actually socially acceptable in Singapore, right? Socially acceptable everywhere. To the point that it's going down, even to the primary schools and the secondary school. I'm not too sure about primary, but secondary, definitely. Smoking? It seems to be cool. It's legal in Singapore. And unfortunately, in our place, I was told by my children that they actually know who are the pushers. You know, you push drugs, right? There are certain people who actually can get contraband cigarettes, and then they're selling it to the younger ones in the playground area. So it's socially so-called. Of course, you have the age of 18, okay? But there are certain things that are just... Well, movies as well, okay? So these are things which are socially acceptable to the world. But Paul then goes on to say that I will not be brought under the power of any. And this is an important truth. Many Christians actually defend their liberty to do anything they want. But God, if we truly want God to guide us, we need to take very careful note of what Paul says, okay? What Paul did not do was to draw a list of do's and don'ts in the activities or possessions. But he gave biblical principles in which he can use to guide us in our decision making. Does that make sense? Okay? This is important because what Paul wants us to do is to live a life honoring to God. And that's a key thing. Okay, any questions so far? Now, Paul did not draw a list of do's and don'ts in activities or possession. He gave us biblical principles. Paul in this teaching tells us, this is important, please take note now, teenagers, every one of us. Although something may be inherently legal for the believer, but some other principles from the Bible may make something wrong, inappropriate for the believer. A lot of people say, what's wrong with that? Yeah? What's wrong with that? Everyone is doing it. It's legal in Singapore. I can go to the movies. I can listen to rock music. What's wrong with that? That's exactly what Paul is driving at. I hope we'll pay good attention, because when we understand the Bible principles that will guide us, it will help us to walk honestly the straight and narrow way that will honor God, okay? So I say again, although something may be inherently legal or socially acceptable for the believer, but some other principles from the Bible may make it wrong or inappropriate for the believer. Some may even be wholesome activities, yet through God's guidance in His Word, we may discover that the activity is wrong and unsuitable for a Christian who is called to worship and serve Christ in his life. Okay? So what we're going to do is to look at these three tests from Scripture, and then later on we do a little practice and apply it to some of the situations, all right? The first question we need to ask ourselves is this. To determine how God guides our leisure time, the things we have, and also the activities we participate in. And for the younger ones, it could be, when as parents, you can use this as a way of guiding your children in deciding what CCAs they should have. Okay? Number one, the first question Paul asked or said in 1 Corinthians 6:12 is, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Number one, is this activity expedient? The word expedient means profitable, advantages to help you? Will the activity advance or facilitate our Christian walk? If you look at the text of 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10, what Paul was strongly advocating was a life that will glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have, which is in you, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, what does it say? Whatsoever we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. So the context of 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10, Paul actually puts the last part as a conclusion: in everything you do, serve to glorify God. And so the Bible guidance, firstly, is the activity, the CCA, the possessions I want to have, expedient or profitable to help me glorify God. As a Christian, we need to ask the question. May I just apply that, because you just finished the Camp and Godly Family. The friends you make, the things you have, the activities you participate, would it actually help you? Or would it actually go against the values your families have? Does it make sense? Because if we want a godly family, then we need to stand for the godly values. That if I'm going to mix with a friend that teaches me how to do things which my dad and mom told me from the Bible I shouldn't do, then, you know, that should actually help us to govern. Is the activity helpful, profitable for me? More specifically, is the activity or possession profitable to help me keep away from sin and to serve the Lord? Does it provide opportunity for me to witness and to live holy? Or will it make us weaker and less inclined towards spiritual things? Yes. Yes, spiritual profitability, meaning that, because in the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is actually driving, because a lot of the people are making decisions based on what is socially acceptable. But he's actually wanting the believers to think on a spiritual level. Okay, so it's socially acceptable to be engaged in temple prostitution, socially, legally as well. But really, is it profitable for your family? Or even your body don't belong to you? So there are another layer of principle guidance from God that we need to use to guide our activities, so that when we participate in it, we've covered, okay, socially or legally, maybe it's profitable, but really the more important thing to God is, does it profit spiritually that I can grow as a result? Okay. Sure. Maybe we'll go through the three first. Okay, there are actually seven more for next week. So these are three key ones. But those are good questions, and hopefully all of us will think towards that. Okay? So I'll just highlight first. Firstly, the first question is the activity profitable? Profitable. Okay? Number two, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Can and will this possession or this activity or this leisure time bring me under its control, like a drug controls a person? Okay? Can and will this possession, the activity or the leisure time, the activity I participate in leisure time, bring me under its control like a drug? Further elaborating, will it take away my attention from the rightful place that Christ should have in my life? Will it take away my time, energy, and money that rightfully belongs to the Lord for His service? Okay, in the context of this, please understand, we all have duties of life. And I've mentioned it many times, the duties of life. It's the time that we have to our own. How do we use that will still honor the Lord? Because when we are working to support our families, we're honoring the Lord. Of course, some people can work for different reasons. It's still fulfilling a duty. Some people work to get money on. But you know, when we work, we are to honor the Lord. Okay, It's not that time that God is talking about. It's the free time, the time that is available to us. There may be other duties that we need to do, but really the time that belongs to us, how do we actually use that? And how does God guide us to use that? Okay? Example, I just use a very blatant example. Many teenagers engage in computer games in their free time. Many teenagers engage in computers in the time they're supposed to do their schoolwork. Okay? This principle in the Bible asks us, will this activity bring me under its control like a drug and take away my attention from the right things that I need to put in my life? Does it make sense? Okay? Now, I hope maybe along the way these principles can actually answer some of the questions you may have. Can and will this possession take away my activity, energy, time, and money that actually rightfully belongs to the Lord? Okay? Question 3. And after this, we'll do some practice already. We can discuss. Does the activity or possession... No, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21, 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay, the third question is, does the activity or possession have the capacity to build up my Christian faith through understanding more of God's word and the building up of my character? Does the activity or possessions that I have the capacity to build up my Christian faith through understanding more of God's word and to build up my character in Christ? Some people have hobbies. And you know, you can have a hobby to the glory of God. Say, God, I'm going to learn this, but God, I want you to help me to persevere. I'm not a very lazy person or whatever. It's possible that you can actually have that, but Lord, I'm doing this. I know my pastor in Australia, he actually sets aside time to paint. He actually sets aside time. He's not a painter, but he sets aside time, 2 hours, I think two times a week, that he would just go to his easel, and then he would just paint. Okay? And he's not a painter, but he would set aside time to paint for the purpose of developing disciplines in his life. And every so often, he also shared with me that he will fast for 3 days in a week, continuously, and he will just take soups. And he'll say, well, Brother Johnny, it's very hard, but you know what? This need to do this. And he does that for the purpose of developing disciplines in his life. I remember this because it affected me. It taught me what it meant to be a disciplined person. Does that make sense? And I could, and this pastor is very straight. Those who know him, he's an upright man. And he was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. And it's not so much his work that he's done, it's his life that really affected me. And his encouragement of painting, his painting is, I wouldn't say, wouldn't be like Agnes or someone else's that's quite, you know, some people are naturally gifted, but he's not. But you know what? If you look at my drawing, it's not decent, but his is pretty decent. He knows it's a house, you know. A bear is a bear, not a cow or something, you know. He knows how to actually draw. And you know what? That he attributed to his twice-a-week discipline, set it aside, and his easel is at one corner of his room whereby he would just put the paint and just paint. And that's for the purpose of developing disciplines in his life. And I'm very encouraged by the life, and he has a whole life of any honoring God in everything. When I actually left Australia I was selling things and he was trying to help, so he bought my table, is quite big. I was quite surprised. You know, when you buy things from each other, what do? You just say, okay, that's $80. Okay, fine. Then she'll just give me the $80 and that's it. You know what he would do? He would actually give me a voucher. Yeah, please sign. But then looking back at what he did was his own stewardship and accountability for the things he bought. And he kept accounts of everything that he spends. It's like, okay, that's a bit far-fetched. But if you really look at what he was trying to do, he was trying to develop disciplines in his life. It's little wonder that all three of his children are on the mission field. And the last one was a typically initially rebellious one. But he is also in the mission field. Because he saw maybe perhaps his dad's actually influenced with that upright life. Okay? And what I believe very much is just an application of Scripture, just taking God's word as it is, and just going from there and say, look, I'm going to glorify God, you, in everything I do. And he will take extra pains to actually do that. He also set time for exercise, okay, which many Baptist pastors don't do, unfortunately, which we need to develop that discipline as well. Does that make sense? Okay, so the three questions, what we're going to do now in the next 20 minutes, we're very early, we finished already, at least for today. Next week, I'll highlight another 7 other principles, all right, from different parts of Scripture to guide our activities, our leisure, and our possessions. Okay, in this practice, what we want to do is just divide ourselves perhaps into maybe just the three, just the people around you, and then you'll just do make a short discussion of the various things, okay? Example, playing computer games, listening to worldly music, joining a particular CCA. As a group, you decide the CCA. It could be soccer, it could be volleyball, it could be hockey, it could be synchronized gymnastics or whatever. And I just threw this one in because of the SEA Games. Joining the swim team of Singapore. Big thing, right? But we subject these activities to... Okay, in this practice, we will list a list of specific activities and possessions and subject it to the three questions and then conclude the Lord's guidance in these things for a Christian. All right? So what we'll do is maybe you can just divide it yourself into little groups. For people this side, you take the first two. Okay? Maybe you divide it into groups of maybe 5 first. Okay, maybe Brother Desmond, you can take Tim and three ladies, Vince, Hannah, Brother June, you can do that. Okay? And Tim, you can... with Brother Henry, Summer, my mom. Okay, maybe your two also can join here. Okay, then maybe the next. So Brother Francis and Brother Gideon, you can take the next row, and then towards the end, one more group. Okay, all right. So I'll just allocate to you the group, okay? So for Brother Desmond, you do listening to worldly music, okay? For Brother June, you do playing computer games, okay? Then for Tim, you... do joining a particular CCA. I just throw it in. Okay, for this side, for Brother Francis, you do, since you like swimming, right? Joining the swim team of Singapore or Philippines. Except for Phoebe. Okay, then the last group, joining a particular CCA. Okay? Joining a particular CCA. So what you need to do is to think through what does the particular activity entail. Then you subject the activity to the three questions. Okay? Then after you take about 10 minutes, then we all share. Okay? Okay, do you know what? Yeah, you know what to do? Think through what does the activity entail to the best of your knowledge. Apply the three questions, and then we have a time of discussion as to... The goal is to seek God's guidance, okay? Okay, Brother June's group. Test. Just speak into it. Now they will control. They will control.
Actually, we on our part computer game, so we discussed what kind of games.
Okay, so what kind of games did you choose? No. I mean, just okay. Never just share.
Anything that make you addicted? Addictive, like Candy Crush, like
Candy Crush,
Farmville.
For what?
Farmville.
Bumble. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So one of our teammates spending 3 hours.
Okay,
last time.
Okay, so maybe what you can do is with the activity, subject the first question, then the second question, then the third question. Okay, follow the thing. So it's maybe, okay, so is Candy Crush expedient? No, just be honest, right? Is Candy Crush expedient?
For us, no.
Okay, not expedient.
The husband and wife quarrel, sir.
Why does a husband and wife quarrel over Candy Crush?
The husband already sleeping, but the wife still playing Candy Crush.
Okay. So which question does it bring under? Question 2, because maybe the wife is addicted to Candy Crush. And so the husband cannot sleep. Okay. So first question, so it's not. Again?
You don't wanna.
Oh, there's no sound. Okay, so question 2. First one, okay, Candy Crush is not expedient. Number two,
will this possession bring me under?
It's control, like, control a drug. Like a drug. That means, will you become addicted to Candy Crush? Can a person be addicted to Candy Crush?
Yeah.
Okay, from experience, I generally...
From
okay.
experience, from experience, become addictive.
Okay, okay. Okay, does this activity... Does Candy Crush have the capacity to build up my Christian faith through understanding more of God's word and build up my character?
Absolutely no.
Absolutely not. Okay. So, therefore, what is God's guidance on Candy Crush?
Better set a timer.
Sorry?
Limit your time. Huh? Limit your time.
Okay.
Set aside a time that will... that you can play on it.
Okay.
Not always.
Okay, so don't always. So limit your time. Okay. Next week, there are 7 other questions that you submit this limit of time to as well. Okay. So, but anyway, but honestly, I've never played Candy Crush. I don't know what it's all about. People always invite me. But, but I don't know what is Candy Crush about. But I would think that it's a harmless activity that you can just play, kind of just like matching and things, I don't know. Right? Okay? But if you subject it to this question, some people really spend hours on Candy Crush, right? So, biblically speaking, then that person ought to say, Lord, I'm deleting Candy Crush. Okay? But if you can play, like you're waiting for a bus 1 minute or finish and go, perhaps in that situation you could do. But you know what? There are other things you can replace with Candy Crush. All right. Okay, thank you for Candy Crush. I mean, thank you for... Okay. All right. Which group talk about worldly games? Worldly music. Okay. Brother Tim and Brother Desmond's group.
So just explain part one and then Brother Tim will take part two.
Okay.
So, I think first we establish what is worldly music first. Okay. So worldly music we discuss, we think that it's something that... music of the world that caters to the flesh. Mm-hmm. We won't go into details, but things that was mentioned by the sisters here are the beat of the music, mm-hmm. The philosophy that is promoted in the music.
Which and is also, example of the philosophy?
We brought up an example of the song Imagine by John Lennon, how it promotes atheism, there's no God. Even though it's a very sentimental, very slow, nice song, but the words in it promotes...
I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine. So that's an example of how it promotes worldly philosophy. Okay. So Brother Tim also mentioned how worldly music, another category of music that falls under worldly music would be CCM. Mm. Even though you have Christian words, it looks Christian, it sounds Christian, the words at least is not really Christian. So mm-hmm. I'll pass to Brother Timothy. He will explain the 3 questions.
Okay. Question 1. Is listening to worldly music expedient?
It's not.
Okay.
Can this possession bring you under its control like a drug? It can. It can. Then thirdly, regarding the CCM, some people actually use it as a point that is an eye-opener, especially for a non-Christian who listen to the CCM. Okay. Then they have drawn into it. But for us who has been around, who's been a Christian for a long time, we know it's not right. But then again, although it feels good for them, it doesn't mean that it's expedient or what was the sentence again? Although it feels good.
Addictive.
Just because it feels good doesn't make it right.
Okay, just because it feels good doesn't make it right. So what it is God's guidance on listening to worldly music?
Don't listen.
Okay. Okay. Is it expedient? Does worldly music advance our Christian walk? Does it help us separate from the sin, worldliness, and spiritual falsehood? Absolutely not. Okay. And then also, can this worldly music bring me as its control? Music is addictive. Okay. Music is not neutral. And so when we listen to a particular form, it can actually addict us. Sorry, brother.
Yeah, Pastor. So we also brought up the idea of worldly music. Also, doesn't mean that all kinds of music that is non-hymn. Because we're thinking of, like, what about songs like Baba Black Sheep, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? Does that mean that Christians cannot sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? Or we cannot sing Happy Birthday, because it's not a Christian hymn. Mm. So
I understand.
Yeah. So how do we?
The question is. Yeah. there are seven other questions.
Okay.
yeah. I think. Okay. Put it this way.
Surely
I think
you
God give us a mind to think. Baba Black Tree, have you any wool? Yes, sir, three bags full. All for my master, one for me. One for the other. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, for children, they may learn different things. In fact, there's a Christian version to Baba Black Sheep. You know that? There's a Christian version to Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. I can't remember it. I have the whole book on. Sorry, I have a whole group of Christian nursery rhymes whereby this particular Christian lady actually changed. I think a little star. God has made you what you are. Rather than say, nah. So you actually shift our children's thinking towards the spiritual part of how God actually did it. And if you want, in Christian education, that's what they do. They switch even that. Okay. So certain things are so-called neutral. Okay. But then it will be subjected to other. Will it bring the child under control? Will it control the child? I love black sheep. I don't want Jesus. I want black sheep. Then the black sheep is a problem. Right, so it does put on that track. So, but there are seven other questions that will help us. But generally, based on this, I know there are other variable questions, but I just want us to at least be clear in our minds. These are the three questions we need to subject our things to as a beginning. All right? Okay, so for God's guidance to worldly music, the answer is no. Okay, because it's specific to worldly music. The next one, joining a particular CCA. Who has that? Okay, this group, anyone else? Yeah, so maybe we'll, and this one also. This group, these two also one group. Okay, just share. Okay? Okay, what a good have teams group share, then you'll just add to it. Okay? Alright? Okay, so joining a particular CCA, Tim?
Okay, we had a bit of problem deciding which CCA we want. Okay. There's a lot of CCA. But we sort of settled on the sports, so okay. Sports. Competitive sports or CCA, like volleyball, basketball, okay. These things.
Volleyball.
For some reason, all it will do with some sort of ball. So,
first question.
The first question is the activity experience, is it profitable advantages? We concluded that there may be some things that are and some things that are not within that particular sport. For example, we're talking about the training. It involves discipline. It involves restricting yourself in terms of what you do, even what you eat, your timetable, that sort of things. And it's more regimented. But there are also things like the after parties and the celebrations and all that sort of stuff, which are not expedient, obviously. So can and will this possession bring me under its control or drop? Potentially it could. And there's the activity of possession and the capacity to build my Christian faith through understanding more of the world of God and the building of a character. Potentially it could, potentially it couldn't. We sort of had this point where we realized it also depends very much on the particular individual. It's very hard to make a blanket statement and say that yes it is or yes it's not, because depending on how strong your faith is, you will have a different response. Different people have different responses to the same activity, so or the same situation, not activity, sorry. So it may be that this particular individual who is strong in the faith, he'll participate in all the things that are expedient, and then after that he will put aside all those things that are not, and he'll save his time. He'll participate fully in all the sports, all the training, but after that he'll set aside time for God and His Word. Or it could be even to the point where this individual, he has to objectively say that I cannot answer question 2 in the sub points correctly anymore, and I have to give it up. And I mean, depends on the state of his faith at that point in time.
Okay.
So for us, it's a bit more nuanced. It's not completely covering it.
Okay. Yes. Well, maybe I'll get this group to share first. Anything to add? They chose volleyball, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
For question 1, is the activity expedient? We said that it is kind of keeps you healthy and all that, so you won't become a burden to other people. Help you to serve God better in other areas also. VBS and all that, you have to run with the kids. We believe that it's kind of neutral. It depends on how you want to carry yourself throughout it. Whether your goal is to really just play the sport for itself, or you want to socialize with other people kind of thing, which is maybe won't be really the right motive. You say that it's harder to keep holy in certain areas because like, you know, all the pressure and all that. Yeah, but it's also easier, it may be another platform, possible platform to witness to your teammates and talking to them.
So that means you're using volleyball as a means to an end, if your goal is to witness to people.
Something like that. Okay. Possible, as in so, not confirm you can.
Okay. You're too tired today. Yeah. Okay. So maybe so, the last group, just to share about joining a CCA. No, the last group. But then there's,
we chose table tennis because I think it's more really not so easy to say that it's right or wrong. On the surface, it looks right. I think one of brethren brought up good points. First of all, if God give you certain talent, for example, you're very good at table tennis, I think you should, there's always a platform for you to honor God. But the second point also, another brethren put up is that it all depends, but if you want to excel, which is in our society, in Singapore society, is about talking about sporting, even sporting excellence. If you want to excel, if you take it up, you surely have to spend time on it. It's not beyond a choice. The coach will ask you to spend more time to train up and all this. It's very difficult to say that you won't take up time. So what she brought up point was very good. If you take it up, definitely have to take up time on.
Okay.
Subjecting
to the three questions.
Yeah, we didn't really go through the three questions because, like I mentioned, it's a very is a rather simple sport. You can't really tell. Like for example, we agree with the other groups with the facilitate your Christian walk. Yes, it trained discipline. But however, like I say, whether it all depends. Like what the other group also say, how much it goes. If you keep on training, and the whole day is about training, about table tennis, and your whole mind is focused about table tennis, then it becomes like a drug to you, and so you don't have that capacity to serve God and do other things and read God's word. But back to the first two points that really talk about God give us everyone different. Not talking about spiritual gifts, talking about talent. Some of us are really musically talented. Some are more sporting talented. Like for example, we mentioned about in our group we discussed about Eric Leader. He was very good in running, and he ran for the glory of God in a sense. And we also talked about because he put God first, even at the expense of having the chance of representing Scotland and then getting a medal, but he chose not to because he put God first. At the end of the day, God still honored him by giving him that chance to represent Scotland, not on a Sunday, and then he still won. The other thing is because of his prowess in running, right? He became a so-called Olympic star in that era. It may also help him in the future, which we do not know for sure. Then when we went to China, you know, his fame was really there. So things like, for example, we back to the table tennis. Maybe the guy who's very good, he trained, and not very good. And then because we all know table tennis, you can play, and as in all sports, except for golf, you can play until maybe about 30, 40s, then you'll give it up because you can't compete with the younger guys. But he may become a very good coach in the end. Then in the end, coach, maybe he got sent him to a mission field in Vietnam or Thailand. He become a good coach, and then through this table tennis, he can actually, you know, get people, get saved and all this. So there is really not... what Bible principle, basically, whatever God gives you to do, fine, and it is as long as expedient, as in terms of doesn't take away time from God and everything, you should do your best. Could be, you know, you're very good in table tennis, but the 2 hours you spend, make sure you do it your best. The other thing we talk about is really, as we learned in the past few weeks about balanced Christian life, it's not what we allocate the time to. That means to say, we read God's word, we serve God, then after that, whatever free time we have, we will go and practice table tennis. Even as we are practicing table tennis, we are still a Christian. Even as we are playing table tennis, we are still a Christian. That whole 24 hours is all about Christian. It's all about Christ. Yes. It should be all about Christ. You focus on Christ. So even as you are playing table tennis, you remember yourself, you are a Christian. You play according to, you know, and of course, things like, and in sports, there will be every chance to cheat, every chance to whatever, do things that are not right. So, but remember, you're a Christian. So, balancing time, discipline, all these, ultimately, it's not us, it's God. Sure. So, put God first, God will balance the time, balance everything for you, just like every leader's case.
That's a good point that you've made. Okay, for Eric Liddell, what was the outstanding thing about his life? Running was actually a big part of his life because he is prowess in running, like the people say. But what was the most defining thing in his life with regards to his entire character? Was it running? I just make it plainly. Was it running or was it his devotion to God? Devotion to God, right? And his devotion to God made him realize that Sundays is off, it's for the Lord. Okay? And his character, to the point that it led him to go to China as a missionary. But coming back to these three questions that we see, these are Bible principles that we need to submit ourselves to before we even choose the activity. That's the purpose of this. Okay? Yes, we may actually have we may be exceptionally good in music, for example. Okay? Then we need to submit, okay, I want to choose let's say Isabel Lee. She's one of our up and growing talents in I'm not too sure whether she's a Christian or not, but Isabel Lee. Okay, maybe I use Joycelyn Yeo. How many of you know Joycelyn Yeo? Joycelyn Yeo claims to be a Christian. But sometimes she competes on Sundays. Sometimes she competes on things. Not too sure about her Christian side. Okay? But is the activity expedient? Is it profitable to help her to grow spiritually? Okay? Is the swimming, or will it bring her under control? And does the activity of possession can be build up Christian faith through understanding of God's will and build up character? Okay? In terms of games, it's a little bit... games in itself is nothing wrong. But the Bible does say physical exercise profiteth little. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? So when we actually think about an activity such as table tennis, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it does take away time, for example, in question two, okay, maybe the coach actually says, sorry, you got to practice. Some schools are niche in certain areas, like volleyball for PHS, niche in volleyball. How often do you all practice in PHS? Sorry? 3 times a week, okay. I know, like, band, for example, is a CCA. They practice every day. They will come early, about 10 a.m., they practice until 12 every single day. We're nearer to the Singapore Youth Festival, where they practice from 8 to 12, take lunch, go to class, and Saturdays, they practice at 8 to 5, example. So it's really stepping up time. And so when we actually decide on a particular activity, we need to actually subject it to these three questions. Okay, it's not about the activity itself, because the activity itself, that's why we need to think ahead and say, is this going to affect me? What are some Bible principles I use to choose at the beginning whether I should be involved in this activity or this leisure activity or this this schedule I need to buy? Okay, that will it really help me? Okay, appreciate the yes, it's true. Every activity actually has its pros and cons. Of course, certain things definitely not, like immorality, all this is out of question. But you know, as Christian, the beginning thing is my desire to honor God first. Remember the context of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Will I glorify God in this particular activity? And then subject it to all this. Even if there's an inkling of personal gain in this, you will find that after a while, your involvement activity will actually take you further and further away from God. Okay? One of the clearest outcomes that the activity is not expedient, even though we think it is, if it takes time away from your own Bible reading, spiritual life, church service, ministering to people, and even your own families, that's not expedient. Really. Because it is taking away time and energy and focus on what God says is important in the first place. Does it make sense? Because at the end of the day, we've got to stand before God and give an account. And God gives all the things in life to actually enrich our lives. I know of, maybe we just finish, but thanks for that. Next one, the last one is the swim team. Okay, let's say you have a privilege of joining the swim team of Singapore or the Philippines. Because it's all Philippines. Sorry? No, you go ahead, you go ahead.
Hello. I just want to share to you what we have discussed. So for the first question, in this activity, is this activity expedient? So swimming basically is profitable physically. So, but that's what the Bible says, it profit little, which is true. But spiritually speaking, it does not really benefit benefit us. So, but there are points here that does it provide opportunity for me to witness and live holy? Yes, I think we say yes. So we have to have the opportunity to witness to our teammates and separate ourselves as a Christian so they can actually see us, oh, this person is different. So in a sense also that we have discussed, when you go into the swimming competition, you have to compete in your underwear, which is not really nice. So we propose to have a necktie next time and long sleeve when swimming. So, yeah, this is a drawback. It's the second question. Will this possession bring me under its control? So as what Pastor mentioned, right, if it's time for church, time for your prayer, time for your Bible study, and all your this swimming schedule conflict with this, right, so it will not profit you.
Okay.
So then, last question, does the activity or possession have the capacity to build up my Christian faith through understanding more of God and the building of our character? Basically, there's no Bible studies during swimming lessons, so it will not.
Okay.
So, but there are some good ways, like what
Jaira
mentioned, that can build up your self-discipline. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's a good point. But other than that, I think it will not improve us.
Sure. Okay. Yep. So subject to the three questions, what is God's guidance on swimming? For your group, what is God's guidance on swimming? God, what do you think, God? So should we participate in this? Should we actually join the swim team of Singapore?
I think the first drawback of being in a swimming team is the attire.
Okay.
Yeah. So, certain sports like... any other sports like table tennis, basketball, it could just be like any other kind of job. It could be just like an office work. Doesn't really matter so much. But the attire, like for gymnastics and swimming, some sports I think is just best for men. Not really, it's not even, if you're a Christian, it's not really for women.
Okay. They're looking at the modesty situation. Swimming is actually a big thing as well. Okay, modesty in swimming is to wear less because you can go faster or aerodynamically. But generally, if you look at the swim fashions of 1800s, they actually covers up everything as well. Because there's a modesty principle in the Bible as well.
And then like the girls, but they're all wearing attire that looks just like
pants. The what pants?
Years ago, they just wear like a tank top and then the shorts is quite.
Yeah.
So it's like now most of the all of them, there's one Singapore she wears singlet.
Yeah. Okay. But whether or not the coach will allow you to do that. But if you go to the Iranian countries, how do they dress when they compete? They cover. Okay? So it's actually a modesty issue for believers. And there's something as pastors, so even if we swim, let's say for adults going to swimming at church camp, we actually have a separate time because it is just not modest. If you actually go, the ladies will go in with swimming costume and the men will be half body going in. So we need to actually be very careful on that principle.
Let's say if you are a team for Singapore, the chance to represent Singapore in the sea
It's not okay. Because it is honor the Lord in breaking a clear principle of God's word.
But I'm not being church. Some men need to go overseas for 2 weeks. The younger, they cannot. They have no choice, but there's a duty of work.
You see, exactly. That's the difference, you see. There's a duty of work. We have to be very clear on that. Maybe like every leader has a choice to run or not run to get a gold medal. Whereas a duty of work is your duty. It's your duty. Whereas participating in Olympics, you have a choice because it's your own glory. Of course, they may enforce it. Of course, it's a $1 million carrot for you to get Olympic gold. But every leader said no. Yeah. So, okay, then that's what I'm saying. We need to then go back from the beginning and say, is this the Lord's will for me? We have to actually be very clear from the starting point. Because once you're in it, it's very hard to come out already. And because all the I'm already in it. So that's why this actually today's, this is biblical guidance helping us to decide, based on the scriptures, what is... How should I even get in the first place? Or should I even get in the first place? Because once we get in, many times when people get in, they're stuck already. They can't get out because it's their livelihood. But I've known of missionaries who went in, very quickly, went in to the mission work, supported by different churches and stuff like this, through a mission board. Finding out that about 10 years after being supported by so many churches, finding out from the scriptures that mission boards are not in the Bible. And he had to make a choice to give up mission board support and follow the scriptures. And gritting his teeth, I will obey God. And he did that. Okay, he actually resigned from the mission board. Immediately, God provided many pastors who were independent Baptists to support him. It was hard for him because, but he had to make that change because obedience to God is more important than his own livelihood. That's what I mean. Okay? No, that's why I said from the beginning you have to actually think through the questions already long. From the beginning, because I've known people in MPCC who on Sundays will ask their instructor, can I go to church? And they were allowed to go. So, okay, like there'll be many variables of this, but I just want to what you've asked is actually legitimate in terms of we need to think through a process and to ensure that whatever decision we make is actually consistent with the biblical principles given. Transgression of God's law in our mind must be a no-no. We mustn't break God's law, especially when we have a choice. If a job requires to frequently fly overseas and not honor the Lord, then we need to relook at the job. And sometimes it's hard. My pastor in Australia was teaching us this, and I respect him for that. He says, sometimes swimming, because of swimming, you may be modestly, then you may have to deny yourself that and say, I'm not going swimming. And sometimes it's hard for some people because that's their life. But in order to honor the Lord and the convictions you have, you may have to say, I love the Lord more. Yes. No, because in playing on Sunday, you still have a choice. And posted overseas, you still have a choice to attend church.
Of course, on Sunday, if you are, like what brother Anderson said, because certain location, you are going to a place where there is no church or something. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. Because it's clear when sports is a pastime, it's a hobby.
Sure.
But then when it becomes a profession, then I think it becomes a bit...
Okay, then we have to decide. Is it a biblical principle we are it's an anchor of our decision making, or is it the job or its requirements? Because if it's a biblical principle, it's very simple. I'm not playing. And if I require to keep on going overseas, like for some of our biblical brethren, I'm always having to work on Sundays. They're actually praying for God to take them out or give them another job. I don't require them to. Yeah, okay. But you see, all right.
So let's say Eric Luther decides to copy that very Sunday. I'm just thinking, would that make it a sin?
I believe it is because in his heart, his goal is to honor God. His goal is to honor God. And would there be anything higher than honoring God? Adam and Eve only had one chance. So I think, I know it's to each the level of faith that God will give you to believe in this thing. Let's put it this way, these are matters in which we need to be not only fully convinced in our own hearts, but also to be able to actually say, okay, these are the principles. God, I'm going to obey you on this. Okay? And if you're genuine Christian, God's Holy Spirit will guide you. And you know what? You will. Once you start, remember the biblical guidance, once you submit to the Lord and go through those steps, you'll find that when it comes to come to this, you won't have any problem because your heart is already submitted. Does that make sense? I know it's challenging. This is important because as Christians, oftentimes it's not between right and wrong anymore. It's between the better and the best. And so these are very important. A lot of Christians are going for the better, not going for the best. And I hope this will help us. Some people, after this, still go for the better. But that's how we need to grow in Christ. Huh? And our job is not to judge. If we find, because we believe in this thing called soul liberty. A person wants to buy a property that costs $1.5 million, but he has no money to pay, or rather he's very limited in funds. Now, as a pastor, I say, I think that wasn't wise. But I cannot say it's wrong, because it's his money, God will judge him for it. And ultimately, he will have to go through a lot of financial struggles and stuff like that because he didn't think through how he should have done it in the first place. I think as a pastor's heart, one of the things is to prevent spiritual problems in your life and your families. Okay, and if take it at that value, and hopefully by God's grace, we will actually have God's guidance in this. Maybe for last question then.
Sure. Those usually we pay a lot of attention. Mm. So like what we are studying now is the small like fast time, free time, and sometimes we say it's okay. It's okay. So my first point is certain things we know is quite clear. It's not saying it's right or wrong, but it's really not honoring. Uh-huh. For example, I give an example is like if you want to be an airline pilot, right? So you know that your time is not yours, it's the airline. Ask you to fly anytime. So you know that's not honoring in that sense. So as a big decision, you say, okay, I'm not going to go into that profession. That's the first part. But, like for example, professional sport, you also know that most of the professional sports are very dedicated, spend almost 24/7 on the sports. Very little time for God. So you know that if even you are talented, maybe you don't want to take it up because you don't think of it. But having said that, if you do choose to take up, let's say you want to be an airline pilot, that's when you have a lot of struggles. When you have little struggles like, oh, this one, you know, it's like every time you go and tell the office manager, can I don't pay on Sunday? Or, you know, I can make it up for other times, but don't make it on Sunday. So it becomes a struggle, just like you're a sportsman, and you tell the coach, DC games, because it's on Sunday, I cannot represent. So it becomes a struggle.
Yeah.
So the first part is when you make a decision, always remember, you honor God. And then the second part of it, even a little thing, like, it may seem like, no big deal, you know, and I paid 7 years, but that's when we most of us usually fall into that category of saying, no big deal, but if you say that if another, maybe perhaps, another brother need some counsel about yours, you should go and spend time with him rather than go and play sports and whatever that enrich yourself.
Appreciate that. Just very quickly, that was what happened to me. I think I shared before. When the SCV, Singapore Cable Vision, first came up, I was supposed to counsel someone, but in the end, I spent time watching soccer with him and wasted the night. At my house. We spent time watching Premier League with him. And what I did was, the next day I called, please take it away. I said, why, you just started? No, I don't want it. Because I was very convicted about it. I should be counseling this person and was watching soccer with him. So I had to say sorry to God. And nothing wrong with watching soccer, But what I had to do was overcome. Okay, I think we need to close. But appreciate the thing. Next week we'll talk more. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, Lord. Thank you for the discussion. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.